Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
We'll turn in your Bibles, if you brought them, to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. That's 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. You know, one of the most tragic parts of the story from when Adam and Eve sinned, I was thinking about that. One of the most tragic parts of the story of Adam and Eve sinning is that after the devil came in and tricked them, after he came in and got them to sin, they ran and they hid from the God who had only ever shown them love. And when that happened, all of human race got stuck. They were stuck in that place of sin. They were stuck in that place of not wanting to come to God and show him our mistakes and our problems. They got stuck. But one of the most beautiful parts is that God, knowing they sinned, came running after them to find them. And when he found them, he made a promise. He made a promise that Jesus was going to come. Jesus was going to crush the head of the enemy underneath his foot, and Jesus was going to make everything better. When Jesus came, he came and he provided us everything we need to heal and to get unstuck in our lives and move forward. But many of us, either because no one has ever told us that, no one has ever showed us that or taught us how to do it, or because we're so ashamed of what we did or what's been done to us that we don't bring it to him to bring healing. So that's why we've been in the middle of this series about getting unstuck, moving past your past. And if you've missed any of these sermons, I would highly recommend going to the podcast, listening to it. It will bless you. But as a way of a quick recap, week one, here at this campus, Pastor Gil taught us that Christ is our healer. He wants to heal us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in every aspect of your wholeness. He wants to heal you. That is his will. Sometimes he does it instantly, and sometimes he does it over the course of time through a process. On our second week, Dr. Chris Cook, happy birthday, by the way, sir. Dr. Chris Cook came and taught us that the problems we're experiencing are always deeper than the surface level. We spend so much time looking at the fruit of the pain that we can see that we don't realize we have to get to the root of the problem to ultimately receive healing. On week number three, Pastor Brandon taught us that this Bible is full of instructions on how to progress and receive healing and move past our past. We have to follow those instructions. And last week, the stallion, Pastor Scott, came and brought us a message about the truth and the lie. He taught us that the enemy wants to convince us to believe lies and that we have to take every thought captive, bring it in obedience to Christ, and then we have to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God spoken out of our mouth, to begin destroying strongholds that the enemy builds in our life so that we can move forward into freedom. As I look around this room today, I know some of you better than I know others. But I do know, just because I know life and I know this world we live in, that all of us have experienced hurts. All of us have experienced pains. All of us either have been or are stuck in areas of our lives. Jesus has brought you everything that you need to be healed. And I'm here to tell you about one thing that might be holding you back from moving forward. And it's been under your nose the whole time. It's your words. Sorry, I thought that up. I didn't put it in my notes, but I had to use it. Thank you. The wordsmith, so it was good. I appreciate that. So today's sermon is Yes and Amen. That is the title of today's message. Yes and Amen. I mentioned earlier that when God came to Adam and Eve, he made them a promise. Now, Scripture is full of promises. That's not the last promise he made. In fact, there's a ton of promises in this Scripture. This is a book full of them, right here, by category. But there are so many promises the Lord gives us. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:20 put it this way, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Recently, I was having a conversation with God. I was praying, and I was bringing him things that I need him to do in my life. There are things I can't do. I cannot make these things happen in my life. And as I was praying, it was like one came to mind, and then another, and then another. And eventually, I got to the point where I was like, gosh, this list is getting kind of long. It's getting long. And then another one hits my mind. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to save that one to pray to you later because I don't want to ask for too much at once. And I heard the Lord speak to me, not with my ears, but inside my heart. He said, "Corey, I'm not intimidated by the size of your list." This verse tells us no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. That's a big statement, but we can stand on it because of the one who gave it to us. Numbers 23:19 tells us, "God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind." Any promise he's ever made to you, he does not change his mind based on your merit or your behavior. Every promise in the Bible is yes. If you've ever watched a court drama or any kind of court proceedings, there's this thing that I've noticed that lawyers will do when they're examining someone, and it's when they want to cut through all the chatter, when they want to get past all the hubbub and all the things that a witness would do to deflect from answering his question clearly. The lawyer will say, "Yes or no, were you at this? Yes or no, did you say?" And then all the witness can say is yes or no. And that's what God did here in this. He said, "All my promises are yes." He didn't waffle back and forth. He didn't hem and haw. He didn't try to make excuses. He said, "All of my promises are yes." Every promise for peace, for protection, for wisdom, for healing, for guidance, for comfort, every promise he made for our marriage, for our parenting, every promise he made for our life is yes. Why? Because of Christ's finished work. He finished it at the cross for us, and it is available to us today. So, if everything is yes, if every promise is yes in Christ, what is our role? What are we supposed to do? Throw that verse back up on the screen for me there, Noah. 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Now, amen is one of those words, if you've grown up in church, it's kind of like hallelujah. It's one of those words you say, but you don't really know what it means. You just end your prayers with amen. It's like a habit that we form. It's something we see and we start doing it. But the word amen has a really simple definition. It just means so be it. So be it. It came to pass early on in Christianity, and even before that, when a good prayer was prayed, people that were hearing it would say, "Amen. So be it. Let it come to pass." So if God is saying he is going to handle bringing those things, his promises are yes, and our responsibility is to say so be it, that lets us know a few things. The first of which is our first truth for today's sermon, and that is our words really do matter. Our words really do matter. And why is that? If we serve an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, why does he need us to do absolutely anything, much less speak? Why does that matter? Well, to find that out, maybe we should go back to Genesis and see some things about the way he created us. So let's go back to the beginning. I'm hearing Julie Andrews singing in my head, "Let's go back to the very beginning. It's a very fine place to start." Back in Genesis, God creates the world. And he does this by speaking. He speaks everything into existence. First he speaks light, then he speaks a sky, then he speaks that the earth and the seas would separate. Everything he speaks into existence until he gets to man, and he does something different with us. He comes down, and with his very own hands, he shapes us in the clay. He shapes us in the mud. And then he breathes his life into our nostrils, and we come to life. And then we can see in Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That word dominion, that means to rule. They will rule over all these categories, over all the earth. Now we know, ultimately God is the ruler. Ultimately God is in control. We know this, but we rule by his delegated authority. He set us in place to rule for him on earth. We know the earth is his because Psalms 24:1 tells us the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell within. So it's his, but he said, "I'm going to create them in my image." So if we're created in his image, doesn't that mean we should do things like him? Doesn't that mean what we do should look like God, our creator? Well, if that's the case, then how do we rule? Well, before he delegated authority to us, everything we see him do is speaking. Everything we see him do is speaking things into existence. And then when he makes us, he fashions us with his hands, and the very breath he used to speak things into existence, he breathes into our lungs. That's inside of us. When we speak, we are speaking with the same breath he used. And it carries weight. It carries power. And the Bible has a lot to say about the words we use. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21 says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11, 23. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Whatever he says, if he believes it, even so much that if you went over and you said to Crowder's Mountain, "Be removed, be cast into the sea," that's a couple hours away by car, but if you believe it and you speak it, it will be so. That's the words of Jesus Christ. And this isn't something that only Christians know. Like, the Bible is full of this, but even the world catches on to this. Like, they talk about positive affirmations, and they say, like, in parenting classes, be careful what you say over your kids, what you speak over your kids. It's very much so caught on. In fact, in 2019, the furniture store IKEA did a little experiment. It was about bullying, but what they did, well, they made a video about it. Why don't we watch that video, Noah?
No one notices when you're in the room.
You're a mistake.
You're useless. You're not even green.
You look rotten. Are you really even alive?
I like you the way you are. Seeing you blossom makes me happy.
You're making a difference in the world.
You are beautiful.
I brought them here to see the plant. I was like, a plant is getting bullied. Like, it's not normal.
I think it's an excellent project to have something tangible that they can actually physically be a part of is, I think, going to be very powerful.
As the weeks passed, I started noticing that the one that was being bullied started kind of to droop.
while the plant that was being complimented, it was flourishing and beautiful.
Our words have power. We have power to speak good. We have power to speak bad. So if our words have power, what exact words should we be using? What should we be mindful of when we're speaking? Go back to 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. We already covered that amen is so be it. Our words that we're speaking should be in agreement with the word. And our next truth that we should take away from this message is our words must align with God's word. Our words must align with God's word. Because our words hold power, we have to learn to align our words with the word of God and release what he has promised us in scripture into our lives and into the world around us. This is a principle we see in scripture time and time and time again. For example, when we begin relationship with Jesus, when we enter into salvation, we have to actually speak aloud that he is our Lord. We know that from Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Since our words have power, we use them to bring God's promises to bear in our life, but we have to be careful because our words have power and they can work against us. Here are some examples of things that I hear people saying all the time that are just not in alignment with Scripture. I'm so scared about this. This terrifies me. For the kids in the room, I'm so scared to go up and give that presentation in front of the class. I'm so scared to this or that. And those feelings are very real feelings, but when we're speaking it aloud, it gives it power. We should change our verbiage. We should change what we're saying to align it with the word of God. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to work through those things with Jesus, but we don't want to speak it and empower it. Instead, we should say things that align with scripture. Like in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And a sound mind. Instead of saying, I'm so scared about this, you say, the Lord is helping me to have power, love, and a sound mind about this. Instead of saying, I can't do this, which is something I've said more than once in my life, I just can't do this. I don't have it in me. I can't do this. We should be speaking in alignment with Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to change the way we're talking. We have to change it. Instead of saying, I'm so nervous or I'm so anxious and this has really got me roiling, I'm so scared right now, we can say in alignment with Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts you. While I'm on this vein, I just got to get on a soapbox real quick. Y'all, we got to stop claiming things that don't belong to us. We have to stop saying, that is my, this is my. We have to stop saying that and change our verbiage. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you have a fear of anything. In fact, it says you have power, love, and a sound mind. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you own a disease. It's not in there. We have to change our verbiage. When we are working through healing, I have been extremely careful when I approach anyone who is dealing with a physical sickness. I don't say, well, they have cancer, they have this, they have that. I say, they're in a battle, they're in a struggle, they will be healed, and they're working through it. Change your verbiage, guys. Pastor Scott taught us last week about lies and how lies, he had that great example for anyone who was here. He brought those building blocks and he took those blocks and he put a little person in the middle and he started saying, well, when we believe a lie, this happens and then this lie and then this lie and then this lie. And he built a wall around that little guy using lies. And that's what the enemy does. He wants us to believe his lies, because when we believe his lies, we don't know to fight back because we just think it's true. We have to learn what truth is. And once we start fighting these things and taking our thoughts captive, we have to use our words to use the sword of the Spirit to start dismantling those strongholds and cutting those lies in place. Cut them in half. Tear them down. But if we're not careful, our words, instead of using the sword of the Spirit to tear down strongholds, our words are going to work as a hammer to put nails in them and fortify them and make them stronger and make them harder to break out of. We have to change it. And I've been in church most of my life, guys. I've heard lots of sermons like this. I have sat where you're sitting and I have rolled my eyes. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was absolutely crazy that someone would stand there and say that what I'm saying, when I'm just talking, matters. When I'm just frustrated, when I'm just making a joke, my words matter. I would roll my eyes and I thought it was a little bit overboard. It was a little bit crazy. But as I've gotten a little older, I've come to realize that the devil has a whole lot of tools and a whole lot of henchmen, and he's fighting against us pretty hard, and we shouldn't be helping him in the process. This isn't easy. It's a big pursuit. I'll give you an example of one that has happened in my own life where my words not in alignment with the word of God have actually hurt me. When I was a younger teenager, I don't know why I started saying it, other than it being the devil, but I don't know why I started saying it. I started saying, I don't do well with kids. Kids aren't my thing. I'm not comfortable around them. I don't get them. So eventually, after saying that for a little while, which again was out of nowhere that I started saying it, I started noticing that in my life, I started growing this uncomfortability. I just wouldn't be comfortable around kids. I didn't know how to do what kids do and like play with them. So I would just stop talking with them. If they were around, I wouldn't really engage with children. And better yet, I would just put myself in situations where there weren't any kids at all. And through the course of my life, I've come to see how much I'm missing out on with kids. I've come to see how much they enrich the lives of the people they're around. And more than that, I've come to see how much Jesus loves children. I have come to see how he will come running to comfort a child when they're crying. I have seen those things, and it's made me realize that I need to make a change. And then I come to the realization, wait, I'm the one that spoke all this into existence to start with. So then I had to start changing my word patterns. I had to start changing the way I was talking. But how do we do that? How do we know what to actually say? If our words have to be in alignment with the word of God, how do we know in a moment when we're just stumbling across something that we know the right thing to say? Brings us to our third truth to take away from this message. We must fill our hearts and renew our minds with God's word. We must fill our hearts and renew our minds with God's word. We're only going to be able to start speaking in alignment with God's word if we begin storing it up in our heart. You ever met someone and they're so nice? They have a smile that lights up the room. They seem so sweet. They're all honey. They're all just lovely. Until you're in life with them for a little while and someone crosses them or they get pressed. There's pressure on them some way. And all of a sudden, all that honey just like wipes away and it's just pure venom. They start spewing out. And you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Because that is not who I thought you were. There's this principle in scripture that like when you get squeezed, what is inside comes out. Jesus puts it this way. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. That's in Matthew 12:34. I was sitting outside one day. I was doing something in my backyard. And I don't know a ton about houses. I don't know a ton about fixing things. Everything that I know about fixing something in my house is because that man came over and taught it to me. My father-in-law, who I affectionately call Pops, comes over and teaches me everything that I know about houses and many other things in life. But one day I was outside and I was doing something in the yard. And I noticed this little pipe sticking out of the side of my house and it was dripping water. So the next time Pops was over and we were doing something, I said, "Hey, what's that pipe do?" And he looked at it. He kind of squinted his eyes at it. You have to know Dan. He kind of squinted his eyes a little bit. So, oh, that's the pressure release valve from your hot water heater. You see, when water gets hot, it builds up pressure. And if it doesn't have somewhere to go, it's going to explode. And that got me thinking, our mouth is the pressure release valve for our heart. So whether you're getting pressed from the outside or if something's building up on the inside, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to begin steeping ourselves in God's promises and his words. We have to know what's in the Bible so that our words can actually align with it. And if you don't know God's word, if you don't know what might help with your particular circumstance, we have these out in the lobby today. This is a book. It's called God's Promises for Your Everyday Need. And it just has, by category, scriptures that align with different needs. For instance, let's say that you are waiting on God for something. It has a whole list of scriptures that apply to waiting on God. Like Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 62:5, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him." This is a great resource so that you can begin with whatever area you are struggling on in your life. This is a great way to just see what does the Bible say about that. We have those out in the lobby. Grab one on your way out. We have them while supplies last. And you can get these, Janie tells me, at Hobby Lobby has a good deal on them. And of course, you can get resources like this on Amazon. Who wants this copy? Anybody? 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 First hand. I can't throw it to you, Adam. There you go. That one's for you. That one's for you. As we begin filling our heart with God's word, it will begin to transform our mind. It will transform the way we think. Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It will begin to transform your mind. That word there in the Greek, it's the same word. It means transfigure. Like when Jesus went up to the mountaintop of transfiguration, he came down, his face was shining. That's what the word of God does in your mind. It makes it shine. It brings the glory of God into your mind and renews it, brings it back to life and changes all of our thinking patterns. Thank God I don't think the way I used to think. My wife says amen. Her parents say amen. Everybody up in this place should be saying amen, that I do not think the way I used to think. Because when I first met Dan and Janie, you know, he knows scripture and it comes out. And when we first met, Dan was like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This boy got some stuff going on. Praise God. Praise God. I'm really embarrassed to kind of think about some of the things that I've said before. Because it revealed what was going on in my heart. A friend of mine once told me a story. His stepdad was all steeped in different things. He conspiracies and all kinds of crazy stuff. It had an impact on his mind. He was really tormented. He was really struggling. He went through a season where he was having a lot of thoughts that were just very hateful about himself, the kind of thoughts where he started hearing voices tell him to hurt himself, I'll put it that way since kids are in the room, and were just really tearing him down. He would go in the bathroom and he would just lock himself in, he would grab a towel and he would just scream in it out of anguish, out of pain, because that's all he knew to do to handle it. Well, he met Jesus. Started going to church. Came to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I have this going on in my life. I'm really tormented. Can you help me?" Pastor's like, "Well, I don't personally know what to do, but I'll tell you this. Get in the Word of God. get in the Word of God, and that will renew your mind, and that will fix your issues. So he took him seriously. Now, he had an extreme situation, so he took an extreme measure to fix it. He started reading the Bible, 60 chapters a day, 60 chapters a day. And it wasn't instant, but over the course of 2 years, he fought that battle, reading 60 chapters a day until those voices went away. He said he never went to a doctor, but knowing what he knows now, he would have been diagnosed with some pretty awful diagnosis. And it's the Word of God that cleansed and transformed his mind and broke that stuff off of him so that he can walk free and has walked free for 30, 40 years from it. Now, some of you may be saying, Corey, all this sounds good. Like, I want to do this. I don't know if I can actually believe God's promises are actually yes. I don't know if I can bring myself to believe that, to even give my amen. So I'll say this. God knows where we are. He knows the situation we come from. He knows where our mind is at, and he knows where our heart is at. He remembers what we're made out of. He remembers that he made us out of dirt. Psalm 103 tells us he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. How much you can expect from a pile of dust? I don't know if anyone else has that testimony. But we can see where one pile of dust walked up to Jesus one day in Mark chapter 9. He had a son. His son was tormented. He had epileptic seizures. He would fall in the fire. He almost passed away more than once. And his father came to Jesus. He said, in Mark 9:23, he said, "Come help my son." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Then Jesus cast the demon that was afflicting this child out of him, and he was healed. Jesus doesn't expect us to be able to do all this by ourselves. He doesn't expect us to be able to, in and of ourselves, even believe his promises are yes, much less give our amen or so be it to him. But we can ask him, "Lord, I believe. Help me in your unbelief, in my unbelief." And it's been in this verse we've been using as our theme verse for this message the whole time. It's right in front of us. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, in relationship with Christ. They are yes. And so through him, the amen is spoken. Through him, the amen is spoken. He's the one. It's only through him. It's only through relationship with him that we gain the ability to even give our amen to him and his promises. You see, it's a beautiful component of our walk with Jesus that so many things bring us back to relationship with him and dependency on him. We cannot do this walk, this life alone. I do not understand how people without Jesus manage to make it out the door in the morning every day. I am completely reliant on him. And when I find an area of my life that I'm not relying on him, I have to bring it back. I have to get it back in reliance upon him. He will give you what you need to say amen. He will give you what you need to align your words with the scripture and with his promises if you just ask him to. Jesus came to restore us. He came to fix us. He came to put everything that is amiss in our life, he came to put it back in order and fix it for us. He came. And now he is with us in relationship with us as we walk again in that delegated authority that God gave us when he created us in his image. We're still created as image, and we look more like him than ever before because we have Jesus living on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He equips us. So it's only through him we're going to be able to do this. He came to walk with us, to hold our hand, and to show us every step of the way what to do. You believe it? Amen. It's only through him we can give our amen. We can't do it alone. Pray over you. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for faith rising in the room. I thank you, Lord, that you are seeing everybody right where they are sitting. I thank you that you know who they are, what they are, and what's inside of them. And I thank you, Jesus, that you know that you aren't going to let them stay there. You're going to walk with them. You're going to talk with them. You're going to love on them. And you are going to show them your goodness, your grace. You're going to empower them to do this walk and to get unstuck. We know you don't want us stuck, Lord. Some of us have been cycling the same mountain for years and years and years. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing these past number of weeks to help us to see how to move forward, help us to see how to gain healing. And we just praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. And I speak over you this morning. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, face to shine upon you in relationship with him. May you see his face. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up the brightness of his countenance upon you, and may he give you rest. May he give you peace. Shalom peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing hurting. The kind of peace that only God can provide. The kind of peace that just really don't make no sense. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.